Let us now turn to the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 63, and we begin reading at verse 7 till verse 14. Isaiah 63:7. I will mention the loving kindnesses of the Lord and the praises of the Lord, according all that the Lord hath bestowed on us, and the great goodness toward the house of Israel, which he hath bestowed on them according to his mercies, according to the multitude of his loving kindnesses. And he said, surely they are my people, children that will not lie. So he was their Savior. In all their affliction, he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity, he redeemed them, and he bare them, and carried them all the days of old. But they rebelled and vexed his Holy Spirit. Therefore he was turned to be their enemy, and he fought against them. Then he remembered the days of old, Moses and his people, saying, where is he that brought them up out of the sea with the shepherd of his flock? Where is he that put his Holy Spirit within him, and that led them by the right hand of Moses with his glorious arm, dividing the water before them, to make himself an everlasting name, that led them through the deep as a horse in the wilderness, that they would not stumble? As a beast goeth down into the valley, the Spirit of the Lord caused him to rest. So didst thou lead thy people, to make thyself a glorious name. Thus far the precious word of God to us this morning. Dear congregation, many people who in the world who have only a shallow notion or idea of the Old Testament, either from hearsay or perhaps they've gone from the church and left the faith since. And for that reason, they often come up with this idea that the God of the Old Testament is different from the God of the New Testament. They believe that the God of the Old Testament is violent, hateful, and austere. When they say that, it's clear, however, that they don't know the Old Testament. Probably they haven't even done serious Bible study. But the biggest problem that they have is that their eyes are closed, and their heart is not burning for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, even having grown up in the church, maybe you say, But you think God seems to be distant, invisible, far aloof from his people. That's not true. God became visible. God became visible in Jesus Christ. But it didn't not just start there. It did not just start there. It started already in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, Christ enjoyed trying on the clothes of his incarnation, of the fact that he became a human. He did so as the angel of the Lord. As the angel of the Lord, Christ visited his people. That's what we would like to consider this morning with the Lord's help from our text in Isaiah 63 verse 9. There we read these beautiful words. In all their affliction he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and his pity he redeemed them, and he bare them and carried them all the days of old. Our theme then this morning is the angel of the Lord when Christ visits. And we see that he does two things. First of all, he shows who he is, or as our first point says, he displays his identity. This point, I need to show you and need to show you that this angel is indeed the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a bit more difficult, but otherwise we miss the glory of the second point, where he displays his work. We would like to consider that he is the angel of the Lord as he appears in the Old Testament, and that he comes actually preciously close to his people. So let us first look at his identity. When we hear about the angel of the Lord, I think many of us think that's mysterious. And it looks mysterious indeed. But when we start reading, then we see glory. We see beauty. The first thing that we need to notice about his identity is his name. We know that names in the Bible, especially when they are about God, are very important. They say something of who he is. Now, the first name that we come across in the Old Testament is the angel of the Lord. He has multiple names. It's the angel of his presence in our text. In other places, it's just the angel of God. In Malachi 3, verse 1, it's the messenger of the covenant. Now, we need to understand that messenger is the word, same word as angel. So you can say the angel of the covenant. So what it says, that he fulfills the covenant, all the covenant promises, this angel. He comes to Jacob when he blesses the sons of Joseph. And what he does, what Jacob says about this angel is this. In Genesis 48, he says that it is the angel which redeemed me from all evil. The one who appeared to him at that house of God, Bethel, later at Peniel, where he struggled. And we see in Hosea that was the angel that he wrestled with. Hosea 12, verse 4. Children, do you remember when Samson's birth was announced? What appeared to Manoah and his wife? It was the angel of the Lord. Do you remember the question they asked? Is this question? Why? What is thy name? What is thy name? And then he says, gives this puzzling, mysterious answer. And he says, why askest thou thus after my name, seeing it is secret? It is secret. The word secret means wonderful, marvelous, beyond our comprehensions. This name is beyond us. The name in this angel. The same word is used in Exodus 15 when it speaks about the Lord who brings the people through Exodus. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders, wonderful. Who doesn't think of Isaiah? You shall call his name Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God. Do you think then that this angel is a normal angel? This must have been a very special angel. And it is a very special angel. In our text, he is called the angel of his presence, the Lord's presence. In our text, when we read it in context, what we see is that Isaiah is longing for a work of the Lord in his day. And what he does to stir up his desires, he thinks back of what God has done in the Exodus. And he pleads that the Lord would come again, and may we plead with him. And what he does, he remembers the loving kindnesses and the praises of the Lord, and his mighty work and his saving work in the Exodus. And he prays, Lord, do it again, do it again, do it again. And as he does so, and he thinks about those loving kindnesses, the praises, the mercies of God. What is that? The loving kindnesses is God's covenant faithfulness that he showed throughout the Old Testament. All his actions are full of loving kindness. Isaiah says. His praises, His praiseworthy deeds, His great goodness, His mercies, that His feelings of compassion, of love, of pity. That is what Isaiah is longing for. And so he says, I remember them. The Lord owned His people and says, they are mine. Verse 8. And he said, and then Isaiah says in verse 8, He was their Savior. That's the Lord, the covenant God. How? And who did save His people? Our text says it. In their affliction, He was afflicted. That's how He saved. And more, who? The angel of His presence saved them. So the Lord, the covenant Jehovah, who is full of loving kindness toward His people and grace and forgiveness, He saved His people by the angel of His presence. Now we are going to look at that salvation more detailed in our second point. But for now the question. What does that mean? The angel of His presence. We need to go back to Exodus to understand it for a moment. And I would like to ask you to turn with me to Exodus 23 for a moment. We need to read this passage to understand this name of the angel. Exodus 23, verse 20. Behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared, the promised land. Beware of him. Obey his voice. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgressions. Why? For my name is in him. But if thou wilt indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, and I will be then I will be an enemy unto thine enemies and an adversary unto thine adversaries. For mine angel shall go before thee and bring thee in unto the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, and I will cut them off. The enemies of the Lord will be cut off by this angel. So what does he do? He goes before the angel of the Lord. He brings them all the way to the promised land, the place that is prepared for them. He needs to be obeyed and not be provoked. Because it says here, the angel will not pardon transgressions when he is provoked. This angel will bring them all the way to the promised land and will cut off the nations who are there. Now keep this in mind for a moment. And now turn with me to Exodus 32. Exodus 32. There we see this happening. They are provoking. They are provoking the Lord. They are dancing around the golden calf. Well, Moses is on the mountain. And now the Lord burns with anger. Verse 10. Now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, and that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation, of Moses. And Moses starts pleading. Moses starts pleading for this people. And then the Lord says, I repent of my wrath. In verse 14 he says that. And then the Lord speaks to him and says this in verse 34. 34 of that same chapter, 32. Exodus 32, 34. Therefore now go, lead the people unto the place which I have spoken unto thee. Behold, mine angel shall go before thee. Nevertheless, in the day when I visit, I will visit their sin upon them. Skip down to verse 2. And I will send an angel before thee, and I will drive out the Canaanites, the Amorites, and the Hittites, and so on. And then verse 3, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, for I will not go up in the midst of thee. I, the Lord, the covenant God, will not go up in the midst of thee. For thou art a stiff-necked people, lest I consume thee in the way. So here's Moses. An angel, mine angel, but the Lord. The Lord not going with, the Lord not being present with his people. And so what we see, if we read on, we see Moses is confused. He goes again to the Lord, and verse 12 of the next chapter, he says this, in the middle of the verse, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. So he's confused. Who is with us? This angel, the Lord. And so he pleads again for the people of God and says, Lord, I need to know if thou art present with us, the covenant-keeping God. And so he steps in and pleads for mercy. In verse 13, and he says, this nation is thy people. And then in the Lord, in his mercy and loving kindness, listens to Moses and grants their requests, and he calms down when he says, when the Lord says to him in verse 14 of 33, chapter 33, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. My presence shall go with thee. And then he says, and answers even then, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. And after that comes that glorious question, show us thy glory, Lord. But what we see here is the angel, Exodus 23, in whom the Lord's name is, and my presence, Exodus 33, are both promised to go with the people of Israel. And so when we read Isaiah, he calls that angel the angel of God's presence. Through this angel, this messenger, the Lord will show his very own presence with his people. Do you hear the whisper? Do you hear the whisper? Emmanuel, God with us. God was present with his people during the wilderness wanderings with his angels. God was with this angel. He was present, as Isaiah shows in our text, to save his people, to listen to Moses' pleadings, to go before and to save his people. This angel represents God himself in a special way. And therefore, it's not only the angel of the Lord's presence, but if you read this name in the Hebrew, you can read it legitimately like this. The angel who is the Lord. And then it becomes clear. That becomes clearer when we consider who he really is in the second part of this point, his deity. This angel then identifies himself with God, yet he is distinct. He is distinct from the Lord. We see that in our text when we turn back to our text, Isaiah 63 verse, we see for instance in verse 8, he was their Savior. That's speaking about the Lord, the covenant God. And then the very next verse says, the angel of the Lord's presence saved them. So they are close together, God and this angel, and yet they are distinct from each other. It's clear that God is saving his people through this angel. And that his name is in this angel. Now we think, what is his name? Why do we need to obey him? Because this glorious covenant name that he has revealed in Exodus is in this angel. What is his name? Children, you know, when the Lord appeared to Moses in the rock, what was his name? The Lord God, merciful and gracious and long-suffering, abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity. Are you struggling with sin, iniquity, and transgression this morning? Listen to this name. Keeping mercy unto thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. Turn to this gracious name. Plead this gracious name. But also, God is a jealous God for His honor. And so it continues and says, by no means He will clear the guilty and visit the iniquity. He's jealous. He wants pure worship. And this name is in this angel. In the angel of the Lord, God's very own precious covenant name. So we see that this angel is called by the name of God, identifies himself as God, appears speaking for God, but he doesn't start his sentences like every normal angel would, or like the prophets would later. Thus saith the Lord. He speaks himself as later the Lord Jesus would do, without saying, thus saith the Lord. He's identifying with God. Do you hear the whisper getting louder? Are you able to spell the name Jesus? This angel is God. For when he appears to Hagar, he himself knows the future. He shows that Ishmael will be a wild man. No wonder that Hagar responds with this, thou God seest me. God's name is in this angel. This angel needs to be obeyed. He can forgive sin. He can forgive sin. Who else but God can forgive sin? Later the Pharisees would strive with the Lord Jesus about the forgiveness of sin. And the Lord Jesus claimed that. The angel says that he will not forgive sin. That means that he can also forgive sin. When we provoke him. This angel of God comes to Moses at the burning bush. Children, do you remember that bush that didn't want to burn up? Moses goes there. What does the Lord say? The Lord comes to that burning bush. It's the angel of the Lord. And rather, Moses comes. And then the Lord says, put off your shoes. Put off your shoes. This is holy ground. You need to worship me. Aren't we to worship none but God? God is jealous for his honor. Later, when God is going to save his people and bring them to the promised land, as we have heard these promises already before, then Joshua meets somebody, doesn't know, is he on our side or is he against us? And so he asks, who art thou? It's the commander of the Lord of hosts. And he receives worship too. He receives it when Joshua falls on his knees and worships. Samson's parents, they worship. They knew they had seen God. The angel identifies with God, is distinct from God. It must be the Lord Jesus Christ who was active in visiting his people. Because John 1 verse 18 says, no man has ever seen God at any time, the only begotten Son which is in the bosom of the Father has declared Him, has shown Him, has explained Him. And that started already in the Old Testament when the Lord Jesus visited His people in the form of a human being. Not with a true body of a human being. And we call that visitation the angel or the messenger of the Lord. He didn't have a human nature. That came in Bethlehem. So children, it's very simply for you. The Lord already appeared in the Old Testament before He was born. And at that time He was called the angel of the Lord. Christ enjoyed trying on the clothes of His incarnation, of the fact that He was going to be born. Where does He appear? That's the third thing that we want to consider in this point. With these remarkable appearances, He shows us really who the Lord is. Our text and the verses following show that the angel of the Lord was active with His people. We said it already in the Exodus during the wilderness wanderings. And verse 14 shows, the last verse that we read together, shows why He was doing that. He was making a glorious name for Himself. That's what He still does when He comes to us. To make a glorious name for Himself. And may He do so this morning. He cared for His people. He saved them. He appeared to them. Not only to the people of Israel. He appears to His people more than 50 times in the Old Testament. He appeared to Adam and Eve, giving that covenant promise, that first covenant promise after the fall, as the voice that spoke to them. He appeared to Hagar, we mentioned already, twice actually. Genesis 16 and 20:21. He appeared to Abram as that third man, the Lord, when He talks about Sodom and His overthrow. Exodus 19. He appears to Abram when he is obedient and brings his son to the altar. Genesis 22. He appears to Jacob, to Moses, to Balaam, to Joshua in the book of Judges. He is mentioned in the Psalms. We sang it together. He appears to David, to Elijah, to Elisha, to Assyrians. He's mentioned in our text. He's mentioned in Malachi 3 and more. And the striking thing is that as the Old Testament comes to a close, the angel appears less and less. And that's why Isaiah in our text and the surrounding verses cries out, Lord, come with Thy presence. And he mentions this angel of Thy presence that used to visit His people. Come with Thy presence. Is that our pleading this morning? Come with Thy presence. Show us Jesus. And then suddenly in the New Testament we don't hear anything about the angel of the Lord except for one time when the history of Israel is mentioned through the wilderness, Acts 7. We hear only one time. Why? Why? Because Jesus Christ is born, He's come into the flesh to dwell with us, to show who God is. He took the form of a human nature, came as the angel of the Lord, but then became human, and His name is Jesus. Now answer this question for me. Is the Lord an austere, violent, distant, hateful God in the Old Testament? No, 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 absolutely no. If we say that, you do first of all greatly dishonor this amazingly covenant-keeping God. If you say that, you have not seen the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, even active before His birth. Through Jesus Christ, the appearing of the angel of the Lord shows that God is personally interested in the problems of His people. God is interested in His people. And may we go with that thought only already. God is interested in His covenant people. That's precious. God shows that He is desiring to be close to us. God shows that He is desirous to give us a foretaste of what He was going to do in the Lord Jesus Christ. He shows us that the Old Testament and the New Testament belong together, inseparably, in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. So believers, today the Lord shows you His loving heart, eager to be with His people. That's the heart of God. Eager to be with His people. He's faithful. He has not been inactive for 4,000 years until He was born. And He is not inactive either today. He's with His people. Not in a physical manifestation. He not only comes close. No, He not only shows who God is. No, He dwells with His Spirit in every one of His people. Closer cannot be to abide with you forever. What a comfort. Jesus, the great shepherd, when He spoke to His disciples, what did He say? He prepared them for His going away and He said, I will send you another comforter, the Spirit of truth, who will abide with you forever. And that Spirit lives in every child of God. It's His Spirit. Jesus Christ in us, the hope of glory. Unbeliever, I need to speak to you. You don't know what you're missing out on. You have no such comfort. You don't know the personal closeness of a faithful, gracious, forgiving, covenant-keeping God who can be close because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what you're missing. But such a comfort is still available today. As we now are going to consider our second thought to see more of Christ's glory and His work in the Old Testament, may then the love of God and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ come with an unquenchable desire to know Him, personally, and pray that He might be near as our Savior. Secondly, then, He displays His work. In Jesus, the angel of God's presence. Isaiah 63, verse 7, shows that God is bestowing, as our text says, as that text says. That means distributing, dispensing, dealing out. His loving kindnesses, plural. Praises, plural. Great goodness, mercies, His feelings of compassion, His sympathy. And that's how our text starts, doesn't it? Isaiah 63, verse 9. God remembers His precious compassion and sympathy for His people. So we would like to divide the work of Christ as the angel of the Lord in four activities. And these are all only small appetizers, if you will. We hope if the Lord spares us that we can revisit those chapters for the complete meal that is there. But this first work then is sympathizing. In their affliction, he was afflicted. Literally, in their affliction, in their need, in their distress. Are you distressed? Are you needy today? In your anxiety, he was afflicted. Now that God can be in need somehow, he is the all-sufficient. But what it means rather is that he's personally involved with the life of his people. His people's problems are his problems. He sympathizes with them. We see that illustrated in the life of the appearance of the life of Hagar when the angel of the Lord appears to her. She did not even belong closely to the covenant people of the Lord. She was an Egyptian slave, an outcast, and there she is, away from Abram and sent away. Lack of water. She's afraid that her child will die in the wilderness. But then the angel of the Lord comes to her. He helps her. He sympathizes with her. Undeserved. Undeserved. She didn't even want to submit to Abram and Sarah. But then he appears to her. What does this show? He looks with pity upon strangers such as her. He helps her. He sympathizes with her, even twice. Who does not think of the Lord Jesus Christ? Was he practicing here for the day that he would sit at the well in Samaria and talk to that stranger, that sinful woman? Opening her eyes for the spiritual needs that she was in. The first time that she really could say with Hagar that someone truly saw her. Truly saw her. Are you here this morning and do you feel an outsider, an outcast, and thinks no one will have mercy upon you today? Look at the character of the angel of the Lord. Look at the character and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. In him there is someone who truly sees you and knows you. The Lord who sees me. The Lord who sympathizes with me. Who doesn't think of Hebrews 4? For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. In all points tempted like us. Let us go boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy, grace, and help in time of need. A sympathizing high priest. That's what Jesus is. That's what the angel of the Lord was. Are you burdened, stressed out, or depressed today? Look at the angel of the Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ. What does he do when he comes to Elijah? His faithful servant who had been valiant for the Lord. Now there he lies. Do you see him under the juniper tree? Distressed, exhausted, burned out. Listen. His kindness. His kindness. He receives food. He receives rest. He's allowed to sleep. He receives a new vision from the Lord. Appearing in a small voice. He receives work he needs to do, needs to call Elisha, anointing the next king. Tenderness. And verse 7 then, and the angel of the Lord came a second time and touched him and said, arise, eat, because the journey is too great for thee. Sympathy. That's how tender the Lord deals with those in distresses, in needs, emotional needs. Two examples just of his pre-incarnate sympathy. In their affliction, he was afflicted, as our text says. What love! Second work of the angel of the Lord is saving. This also is glorious. Our text speaks about that, about this work that is connected. Our text speaks about this work connected to what he did for Israel. The angel of the Lord, of his presence, saved them, it says in our text. In his love and in his pity, he redeemed them. And he bare them up. He carried them all the days of old. Christ was present there with his people to save them out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage all the way. He saved them. He set them free from danger, from idolatry. He set them free. That's still what he does when he comes to us this morning. He sets us free from our bondage. He redeems us. He has paid the price. He's paid the price with his own precious dear blood, and he bought them free. And he lifts them up through life. He carries them as a father carries his little precious child. That's what he does. That's a picture of what God does in the angel of the Lord Jesus Christ, already active there and still does. That's what he has done for you, dear child of God. Every child of God, that's what he's doing for you. Even right now in your distresses and difficulties and pains and trials. He bears you up in his almighty arms. He saves you. He forgives your sin. He's merciful, gracious, long-suffering. We see another aspect of that saving work in Abram. The angel of the Lord comes to Abram to speak about Sodom. And then Abram starts to plead for Sodom. The angel of the Lord is involved. He sends two angels to save Lot. That's what the angel of the Lord does. He sends two angels to save Lot and his family. The Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations, Peter would later say. The Apostle Peter. But isn't this an amazing picture? By nature, we are all hell worthy. But for Christ Jesus, he sends his deliverance right into the heart of Sodom and takes you by the hand out of your deserving of hell and set you free in a little place called Zoar. Escape from hell. Child of God, that's what he did. Already in the Old Testament, the angel of the Lord. More. This blessed Lord already started interceding for his people and forgiving their sins. If you would turn to Zechariah 1, what do we meet? We meet the angel of the Lord again. This time in a vision. It's real for Zechariah only. What is he doing? He's interceding. What does that mean, children? That means that he's praying for his people. He's pleading for his people. And who does he intercede with? The Lord of hosts. God the Father. He still does that. Listen. Zechariah 1:12. Then the angel of the Lord answered and said, O Lord of hosts, how long wilt thou not have mercy on Jerusalem and on the cities of Judah, against which thou hast had indignation these 70 years? He pleads, have mercy. Don't keep thy indignation, thy anger over thy people. Who does not immediately think of our gracious interceding high priest in Hebrews 7? Wherefore he is able to save us to the uttermost, that those who come unto God by him, seeing he ever lives to make intercession for them. There he started. Interceding for his people. Is the angel of the Lord. And now he continues at the right hand of the Father for all his people. If you can pray, he will pray. He will pray. Do you need someone to plead? To plead your case today before the Lord? He can stand in your place. Look to this high priest. Look to the angel of the Lord. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He ever lives to plead His own precious blood. The merits of His sacrifice for His children. Beautiful picture we see also of the forgiveness of sins. Do you remember Zechariah 3? Joshua the high priest with all those dirty and besmirched clothes. Do you remember him, children? He stands there before the angel of the Lord, and then Satan comes and starts attacking him. But the angel of the Lord silences and rebukes the devil. That's what he does for all his children. The angel of the Lord speaks pardon. He forgives sins to Joshua. It's the angel of the Lord then that takes these filthy clothes with which he cannot appear before God. That's what we are by nature. We cannot appear before God. But he then takes those clothes and gives those new clean clothes. It's the angel of the Lord then that gives also a promise about himself. There's a branch coming, a Messiah, who will take the sins of his people away in one day. Who is that? That's himself. He's going to take the sins of his people in one day at the cross. That's where he did that. Child of God, look at your Savior. Look at the angel of the Lord. Beautiful pictures. What it means to be reclothed, pure, to be able to appear before God with the righteousness of Christ. He became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. He gives those clothes. He has earned them. Worship Jesus Christ, our gracious High Priest. Just a few examples of His saving work, and there's more. He came to sympathize. He came to save. He came to shepherd. Verse 11, where is He that brought them up out of the sea with the shepherd of His flock? Where is He that put His Holy Spirit within Him? The angel of the Lord is that great shepherd of His flock. Moses went before, yes, but much more important, the angel of the presence of God went before. He protected them. He shepherded them. He fed them. He gave them manna. He gave them to drink. He furnished a table in the wilderness for them. But here in Exodus 14, He also comes and as the angel of the Lord comes and protects them from Pharaoh, who comes behind them. The shepherd was the one who protects his people, wasn't he? Exodus 14, and the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them when they were in danger of Pharaoh coming behind them. And the pillar of cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. What is that? The angel of God and the pillar of cloud. Somehow connected? Looks like it. And they came between the Egyptians, the enemies, and his people. This is what God does. He shepherds his people. He stands in between the enemies of God and the people of God. So, child of God, you can be sure that He will be there for you, guiding you, meeting all your needs, shepherding you, protecting you, bringing you all the way to the promised land. Christ has promised, didn't He? I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you may be also. He promised. Already as the angel of the Lord, He showed what that meant in picture form for us. Do you see that Jesus is still the same? Do you see why Christ is called a good shepherd? He goes before you. He leads you all the way. He protects you. The final and fourth work of the angel of the Lord is sentencing, which means that he is also punishing. Verse 10 shows it. Isaiah 63:10. Some vexed the Holy Spirit of God. The Spirit of Christ, that is, with their sins. The Spirit of the Father. This is also his work. This is also his work. And what happened? The angel of the Lord came against them. Christ turns, and this is a fearful thing. Christ turns against those who vex his Holy Spirit, fighting against them. He will come as judge of all the earth, and his judgment shall be right. It shall be right. When the angels were speaking to Abram about Sodom, he said it about himself. Shall the judge of all the earth not do what is right? He was about to destroy Sodom. Is that austere? Is that violent? No, God does what is right. And all flesh needs to be silent before him. For we have sinned. He is perfect. He is pure. He is holy. We have sinned. Oh, let us keep silence before a holy, sin-avenging God. It was the angel of the Lord who drove out the Canaanites. The Lord Jesus drove out the Canaanites. Will you say that Lord Jesus was not doing the right thing? Jesus Christ, the angel of the Lord, judges justly. If you're thinking differently about me, then you have a problem. And the only solution is bowing before this angel and pleading his name. Because let me warn you, the angel confronted Balaam. Do you remember, children? Balaam? He wanted to have money and he wanted to curse Israel for money. And the Lord came against him. The angel of the Lord sent judgment when David was lifted up in pride and started to count the people. And there was a plague raging through Israel. And the angel of the Lord carried this out, this plague. When Hezekiah came pleading before the Lord, and all the Assyrians were surrounding Jerusalem. He was distressed. He was godly. He was praying. What happened? The angel of the Lord, we read, 185,000 Assyrians in one night wiped out before the face of God. Jesus Christ is just, and he is the judge. I plead with you, don't sin against him. Obey his voice, his name. God's name is in this angel. Child of God, don't sin against him. You don't sin cheaply. You vex the Holy Spirit. And Christ needs to be against you. But also be comforted. Be comforted to know that God is on your side. He fights your battles against your enemies, the devil, sin, and your own flesh. He fights through his Spirit in you. But unbeliever, do you think you can escape the punishment of the Lord? If his fury, his wrath, kindles but a little, who will stand? Do you really think that the Lord is going to overlook your rebellion? I plead with you this morning. Obey His voice. Turn to Him. Repent of your sin. Plead His gracious name. Bow before Him today and ask Him forgiveness. And you will know that the angel of the Lord's presence, Jesus Christ, saves to the uttermost all those who come to Him and truly forgives sin. As we conclude, is the God of the Old Testament distant from His people? Simple answer. Absolutely not. All the appearances show that God in Christ Jesus wants to be close to His people. For many Old Testament believers, this was a mystery. It remained a mystery. For us, it's much clearer when we compare Scripture with the New Testament. And how striking it is then that in the last prophet of the Old Testament, Malachi, it speaks about the messenger of the covenant. Listen to what it says. It's beautiful. Behold, I will send my messenger. That's first of all John the Baptist. And he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord, whom ye seek, shall suddenly come to His temple. And then even the messenger of the covenant. So the Lord whom you seek, who comes to His temple, is the messenger of the covenant, is the angel of the covenant, is Jesus Christ. And what does it say? In whom ye delight. Behold, He shall come. He shall suddenly come to His temple. I see Simeon. Do you see them too, children? Simeon standing, longing for the baby Jesus. In his arms, He shall come, the angel of the covenant, who will fulfill the covenant promises from His side, from God's side. He came and He held him in His arms. Can it be any closer? God with us. Now the question, are you holding Him? Are you holding Him by faith? Have you met Him in the Word of God and in the Old Testament? Has He appeared to you? That's what we need. That's what you and I need. And we need what also this text says. We need to delight in Him. Delight in God. Worship Him. He is worthy to receive all honor, all glory, all praise for His loving kindnesses, His mercies, His feelings of pity upon His people. Oh, treasure the Word of God. And when you read about the angel of the Lord, that you would worship Jesus Christ, who's coming close to you, that you would delight in Him, that you would worship Him because of the work of His salvation. Worship the Lord, all of you, for Jesus' sake. Amen.